Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to Grace Point. Glad that you are here worshiping with us. Also online, thank you for worshiping with us online here this morning. In just a few moments, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, verse by verse through the book of Colossians this year. And 15, 16, and 17 of Colossians 3 really they kind of stand alone, each need a week. And so we've done that the past few weeks. And so today, in just a few moments, we'll go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. But we have a couple of things I want to do, something a little different here this morning before I start teaching, which is going to impact the amount of time I teach. But I'll get to that in just a moment. Let me just loop you in again with a couple of announcements just to make sure you're with us. Grace Point groups. So our Grace Point groups, you can pick up these cards out in the lobby if you want more information as you leave today. These cards are out there in the lobby. You can pick this up and you can scan that code. And it will give you on your phone there all the Grace Point groups that we have here at Grace Point Church. We have a new group starting today, Sunday morning classes. And then this past Wednesday night, we had some new groups starting this past Wednesday night. So the semester has started. Still plenty of time for you to get connected. If you'd like more information, let me encourage you. You can also go to our website, gracepointdenton.com, and click on the discipleship page. And you will also, it'll lead you to all of the classes we have on Wednesday nights, and also on Sunday mornings, and then some others there, some other weeknights if you'd like to check out those too. But it's a great way to get involved, a great way to get connected, a great way to continue to grow in your faith. So our Grace Point groups, discipleship's a big deal. It's important to us here at Grace Point. So I hope you'll check that out and get connected. And then September 12th, Sunday, September 12th is really Reconnect Sunday. It's an opportunity for all of us to reconnect as a church family. Now, let me just talk about this for a minute. Back in the first week of August, when I pushed this out from the beginning, first week of August, the COVID was at a different place than it is now, right? So when I pushed this out, the idea was COVID's behind us. Let's all come home in September 12th. So by then, I thought for sure, you know, we would be at a different place and everybody, let's come home and reconnect. I certainly recognize that now it's not, right? It's not behind us. Things have changed in this last month. The numbers are up. And so I still want to, you'll still get this in the mail. Maybe some of you already have. Put it on your refrigerator. Let me encourage you to pray towards it and make plans to be here. Now, that being said, and I'm probably talking to most of the people that are online right now with this one because you're here in person, but if you're not comfortable yet because of the COVID thing or you have health concerns and that's why you've been continuing to watch online, then I don't want you to come. I said from day one, don't come if you're not comfortable. I want you to feel that pressure to have to come, right? If indeed that's the reason you're watching online, then you continue to do that. If, though, as I say in that card, on the back of that card, if maybe through the summer you've gotten out of the habit or you've gotten busy and you've just got out of the habit of coming to church, and it's easier to watch online, that's the group I want to come and reconnect with us on Sunday, September the 12th. So let me encourage you to put that on your calendar, those of you watching online and all of you here, and let's all come together and reconnect on Sunday, September 12th as a church family. That's just going out to our church family. It's not a community-wide mailing. We're just going to focus on our church and having our church come back home. So I hope you'll make plans to be here and just pray towards that. When you get that card, put that in a place you can see and pray towards Sunday, September 12th. It's an opportunity for us to all reconnect as a church family. Okay, so let's do just a little different today. Instead of me just jumping into the preaching time, you know, there are times, and I know we all have them, right, where just the Lord really presses in on you and you really feel impressed to pray, and you feel the weight, you know, you feel the burdens of just things and people and stuff that's happening. And so, man, this week, when you look at this week and all that's happened, and I feel like that we as a church need to just pause, right? And we need to pray. We need to intercede on behalf of many that are struggling, many that have lost loved ones. You have the 13 U.S. soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan, and their families, the impact that's on their families is something we need to pray over. The whole situation in Afghanistan, I think we need to pray over this. We need to pray over this as a church. safety over those that are still there. You know, it's a volatile situation, dangerous situation. So I want us, in just a minute, we're going to pause, so settle in a little bit and pray with me, kind of get in that spirit, in that mindset, and then after we pray, we'll jump into the message. It'll be a little shorter today, but so praying for that situation in Afghanistan and those that have lost loved ones, and in just a moment, I'm going to read the names of the 13 soldiers. I think it's important. I think that's important to say their names, to remember them, and to pray for their families today and then the days ahead. Pray over the situation in Afghanistan. Certainly, I think we're called to pray for our president, regardless of which side of the aisle you fall on. And that is not a political statement. Don't send me an email. I'll send it right back to you. It's a biblical truth. We pray for our president. We need to do that. We need to do that. I believe that. That's that. We need to pray with the COVID, the pandemic, right? So we need to pray. Many have lost loved ones. Many are in the hospital. There's kids that are getting this. So we just need to pray for this and for these families that impacted, and then pray for the healing, right? As we move forward, right? We just keep moving forward, but we're praying for the healing, that God would bring healing to our land and we would move through this, and certainly for the families that have been impacted by it, and that people that are dealing with it. And then in addition to that, we have this hurricane that will make landfall probably, you know, shortly after we finish here in Louisiana. And by all accounts, you know, just from what you hear and see, that it's going to be devastating to those homes and to those people. And so I think we have responsibility as a church. We need to pray for these people. We need to pray for God's protection over these people and their homes and the cities that could be just wiped out. It's easy when we're here going home into our, you know, house and turning on the TV and relax and eating that we forget. And so we want to remember. We want to pause now and remember, and then even in the days ahead, to pray for these that will be impacted by this hurricane that's coming. So again, I'm not come every week and say, here's the prayer request, but there's certain times when I think we need to say, hey, as a church, we're stopping and we're praying. I think today's that day. So let me read. I want to read the names of these soldiers that lost their lives this week in Afghanistan, and then we pray for their families. Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Espinoza, Rio Bravo, Texas. Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole L.G. of Sacramento, California. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover of Salt Lake City, Utah. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Canals of Corinth, Tennessee. Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez of Indio, California. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCollum of Jackson, Wyoming, California. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan Merola of Rancho, California. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem Naku of Norco, California. Marine Corps Corporal Dagan Page of Omaha, Nebraska. Marine Corps Sergeant Johanny Rosier Picardo of Lawrence, Massachusetts. Marine Corps Corporal Humberto Sanchez of Logansport, Indiana. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz of St. Charles, Missouri, and Navy Hospitalman Maxton Soviak of Berlin Heights, Ohio. 13 that gave their lives in Afghanistan, defending our freedom. So let's pray. Would you pause with me? Let's pray. And maybe just where you're, maybe while I'm praying, you want to pray, just silently you pray a prayer, that's fine. Or if there's something else that's, you know, weighing on you, and you need to just take that to the Lord. And this is our time to do that. And He instructs us to do that. So I'm going to pause for just a minute, and then I'll lead us. So, Father, we confess that you are sovereign. And we first want to say that we come in Jesus' name. We're asking today, God, we have so many needs. And so we're asking you, Lord, to move in people's lives and to provide and continue to provide, Lord. We think of these 13 men and women that gave their lives, Lord, in protecting our freedom, and their families are forever changed. So our part is to intercede for them, to stand in the gap through prayer, to ask you to provide comfort for these moms and dads and husbands and wives and kids who've lost a father or mother, that you, God, would provide grace and peace and comfort and hope, even in what appears to be hopeless. We believe in Jesus, and we believe the hope that there is light in darkness. And so we intercede, we ask God for grace and peace over these families as they grieve the loss, God, of their loved ones. So we intercede, God, and ask that, and ask that you would provide that to them, Lord, this moment, this hour, this day, but in the days ahead too. And for many others in that region, God, in Afghanistan, and just the volatile situation, the danger it holds, and so many other people that were hurt even in this past week through that bombing. And we pray for them. We pray for our soldiers that are there now. We pray in safety and provision, protection, God, and just this wisdom in this conflict, God. So we're praying for that, Lord. We are keenly aware of it, and so we call upon you. We seek you, your counsel, God, your wisdom, your power. We ask you, God, there to provide that covering to the military in Afghanistan, Lord. And we pray for President Biden. I pray wisdom for him, God. I pray grace and peace and strength over him, God. Guide him as he makes decisions, as he leads us, Lord, in this country today, and we pray in the days ahead, Father. We pray for him. We pray for just our country and really the world, and we're thinking, I guess, of our country right now and the number of people that have been impacted by COVID and have lost loved ones. We're praying grace and peace to the families and healing and through their grief, God, and their hurt. For those that are battling now, for the kids that many that have that, and Lord, we're praying for healing for them. We're praying for healing of our land, God. We're praying that we can move through this, that we can get past it, that there will be healing from this, God. And so we pray for that, Father. We ask that from your hand, God, in our nation. And we pray for the people on the coast where the hurricane is, if it has, and it's about to make land. And we know, God, we believe that you're sovereign and in control. We may not understand it all, so we're going to lean into God, trusting you here and just in the midst of it all. And we're praying and petitioning, we're interceding, God, for those that this will impact. We're praying for safety of life, God, of homes and communities, even cities, God, that are going to be impacted by this. So, God, we're praying now that you would intercede, God. You would provide protection and safety, God, and healing through this, Lord. Yeah. So we pray boldly, God, in faith, that you, God, would even do a miracle there, God, protection and provision. So we pray for that in Jesus' name. We come together as Grace Point Church. We unite our hearts, Father, and intercede on behalf of these in Jesus' name for your glory, God, for your glory, not ours, but for your glory. So thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you answer our prayers. And we pray everything today. We pray everything in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has risen from the grave and is alive today. We pray in his name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for praying. And let's just continue to pray in the days ahead for these things and others. I know too. Okay, so what I did in the first two services and what I think I'll do on this one is, you know, we've got three takeaways and a lot of subpoints. So instead of trying to just get through everything, I want to teach through one takeaway, and then we'll come back next week, and then I'll finish this message. So this one will be, one takeaway is like a devotional for me. So you're getting Pastor Dave devotional today. And we'll just start and kind of do a little groundwork on this thing, and then really develop it next week in more detail. But I still pray the Lord will give you just one thing, something that he'll press in on your heart from the scriptures today that can encourage you. As we go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, let me read these three verses because each, you know, I think we see how each one, they're interconnected, and I'm going to show you this again. So verse 15, Colossians chapter 3, we talked about a couple weeks ago, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So that's 15. Now, verse 17, which we're going to get to in just a minute, we're going to talk about today. I want you to see and grab a hold that verse 15, which I just read, the peace of Christ, the rule in your hearts, and verse 17, which is going to talk about doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Though in between those two is the whole key to 15 and 17 happening in your life. Okay, he's put that right in the middle of it, Paul had. And that is what we talked about last week. Okay, apart from verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We're not going to experience 15, and we're not surely not going to do 17. Okay, so you see that? See how that's constructed, right? Right in the middle, on both sides of it, okay, this is kind of the 16 is the foundation, if you will, we have to have. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we talked about that last week. Now verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's stop right there for just a minute. Okay, so here's what he's saying. And what I'm going to do today, I'm going to kind of back into it. So I'm going to take the second part of that verse first. And then next week we'll come back and whatever you do in word or deed, I want to show you what that's going to look like in your life. Okay, so you have do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the phrase we're focusing on today. Because I think it's important to understand that. And then we understand how it applies to do everything in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. But what he's saying here in summary, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, is he's saying you need to get out of your head that it's all just happens on Sunday. You have to be thinking that it's more than this. Now, this is needed. We need to be here, corporate worship, teaching of the word, worship of God. Everything points to him. No question about that. And we need that. But we have to get out of our minds that it stops here. That when you hit the parking lot and then you hit the street out there, that you kind of leave it here. So this verse does that. It takes it from the worship center, from the team, and takes it to our life as we go. And that's why he says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you can see the repetition. And whatever, there's the first, whatever you do. And then he says it again in a different way. In word or deed. And then he says it again, do everything. You see that? See where he's going with that? And then, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so it's as sweeping as a verse you'll find. Like, there's no way out of this one, man. There's never, and we'll talk more about next week, but that there's never a time you will ever check your Christianity at the door on the way in. Never should be. Never should be that. Now we're big on compartmentalizing things in our life, right? And sometimes we do that with our faith. And there's times if we're not careful where we're compartmentalizing, we're going to check. Well, in this situation, I'm hanging with my buddies from work, and I'm not going to check it at the door, or whatever the situation may be. Right, this verse just hits that, collides with that. There's not a time. It's not like, well, it's time for me to go to work. I go into the office and I got to check my Christianity at the door. No, this verse goes directly against that. There's never a time when we should be doing that. And he covers it, whatever you do, in word or deed, in everything. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to give you this. I'm jumping ahead, so this is under another takeaway, but I need to give you this. Living and doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus for the world to see has a specific end in view. Now, we're going to develop this more next week, but the specific end in view is to glorify the Father. Okay, that's the end in view. That's the why we need to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to show you next week, that's the why we were here, we were created. That's the why we are here. And so Paul gives us exhortation, man, this powerful exhortation that points to our behavior in verse 17. And what he's saying basically is he's connecting the behavior of a believer to the confession of their heart. I say I'm a Christ follower. I say I believe in the gospel. Then this is how it should invade your life. That then everything you do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 23 kind of points towards that too. We'll get to that down the road. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. I'll put the main idea on your bulletin. If you have a bulletin taking notes, let me just read it to you. In becoming a Christian, the believer calls upon Jesus as Lord and comes under the authority of Christ. He belongs wholly to Jesus. Thus, everything the believer says or does, everything, there's no wiggle room on this, right? Everything the believer says or does should be in light of the fact that Jesus is his Lord. His behavior should be consistent with Jesus' character. That's the main idea of verse 17. For all of us, we're not going to be perfect. I know that. We're going to stumble. But the heart of this, the idea, the intention, is that everything, it's sweeping, it's comprehensive, right? It moves us all to a deeper place of maturity in Christ when we grab a hold of this. And that's what I want as your pastor, for you. Because as we're going to see, man, this is where life is. This is where life is. And it's contrary to what the world's going to tell you and Satan's going to tell you or unbelievers are going to tell you. But I'm telling what the Bible teaches. I'm going to show you this is where life begins for you and me. When we grab a hold of this verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. So one takeaway today, takeaway number one, just one thing. Based on Colossians 3, verse 17, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Takeaway number one, it's not about you. It's not about you anymore. It's not about me anymore. It's not about us anymore. Once we become believers in Christ, it's all about Jesus. Amen? Amen? It should be all about him. It's not about me anymore. Everything that I do right here, I should do in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are not. I'm not doing it in my name anymore. Look, this tells me that I'm not doing it for me anymore, anything that I'm doing. It's for the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the glory of God. Right? And so in my workplace, in your business, I think you should work harder than anybody, and I would pray God would bless you with great success. I don't think that's wrong at all. I don't think you're supposed to be called to be a martyr and live in a tent forever. I mean, if you're called to do that, you know, go for it, but that's not the idea. Here's what we miss. If God blesses your business and your job, whatever you're doing in great and mighty ways financially, the way you see that is it's not in your name, but it's this part here, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So then God is one who's blessed me with that. So I'll then give glory to God and not myself for what he gave to me. It's not because of me. That's the mind, right? That we recognize where that blessing comes from, and we recognize that all that we've done has been for the glory of God, and so we use all that he has given us then for the advancement of the gospel and the glory of God. And that's where we need to get, to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's sweeping. My parenting, to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. My marriage, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything falls under this authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, before you start to think, well, that's just a burden, man. That's just stifling. Okay, see, scriptures tell us it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite, man. That's where you get free. That's where you begin to find life. I'll show you two scripture passages, Matthew 10 and Mark 8. They're parallel scriptures. They're speaking of the same thing. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Jesus says this, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake." So there's Colossians 3:17 right there. For my sake. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. For my sake. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So that's what the scriptures are teaching us. The world teaches us different. The scripture says when we lose our life in Christ, for my sake, Jesus said, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's when we find it. In Mark chapter 8, the parallel verse of it, of the gospel, says, verse 34 and 36 in Mark's gospel, I'll start in verse 35. This is not on the screen, by the way. Sorry, I just threw this in. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now, verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? So what he's saying here is when you lose your life in Christ and you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's when you truly start to live. That's when you find life. The world tells us different. Satan will tell us different. Our own human, our own sin nature tells us different. The scripture says when you lose your life, that's when you'll find it. I'm living my best life. You've heard that phrase, right? That phrase is out there, living my best life. So what does living our best life look like according to the scriptures? Because living our best life and what that is and the answer to that is coming from social media, it's coming from magazine covers, it's coming from movies, it's coming from shows, what living your best life really looks like. So then what we do as believers is we say, well, how does scripture answer that? What is living your best life? And according to the scriptures, the verses I just read, and according to Jesus, the best life, living your best life, is the one that is lost in the cause of Christ. And I fully believe what the scriptures teach, and I fully believe because the scriptures teach it, that there's no greater cause that you can give your life to than the cause of Jesus Christ and his church. Amen? No greater cause. Men, for your children to see, no greater cause for you to give your life to than the cause of Christ and his church. Your kids need to see that. Ladies, same. Your kids need to see that. For all of us, people need to see that. There's no greater cause. I wholeheartedly believe that because the Bible teaches it. I would say first and foremost, the Bible teaches it. I would say I experience too, but I don't put experience over biblical truth. The biblical truth is that the scriptures teach that first and foremost. And I have seen it, and I've seen it in some of your lives, that people, they've gone all in, man, and they're at a good place. Because they've grabbed a hold of this. When you lose your life for Christ, you find it. It's a very radical truth, a very radical thing. It takes time to settle in your heart and to really grab a hold of that. So I hope this week maybe God presses that in on you, what that means in greater ways. I'm going to finish here. C.S. Lewis said this: if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. It is largely since Christians have ceased to think of the other world that they have become ineffective in this one. Because we're so wrapped up in pursuing the world and the things of the world that we've forgotten this truth. When we lose our life for Christ, we find it. We've forgotten this truth, Colossians 3:17. To do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. The end of view in that statement is for the glory of God. Now, next week, I want to show you, I'm going to tie that in biblically to show you that's the purpose for which you were created. So when you begin to live the purpose for which you were created, that's when you begin to find life abundant. I mean, there's other things we can live, but we don't experience then the fullness of life that we were created to live when we're not fulfilling the purpose that God created us for. And I want to connect Colossians 3:17 with Isaiah. I'll do that next week. But what Colossians 3:17 reminds is we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? End in view is for the glory of God. And we're not focus so much just singularly on this world. And we got to live in this world. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know. we're in it. We're just not out of it, right? And the scriptures say that. But I think it's important for us to remember, too, for us to be reminded as believers, my friends, that this world is not our home. Amen? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm like, well, praise God, that's true. I don't want to stay here forever. So we don't want to get, so you pray for wisdom, right? So we don't want to get so attached, right, that it pulls us away from living the life that Christ has for us. Yet we need to live in this world. And so there's that tension that we look for in our lives. And I think Paul gives us these scriptures and God gives us these to remind us and to keep in full view everything you do, man. You do for in view is in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to talk next week about what that looks like in your words, in your actions, in your marriage, and in your life. And I'm going to ask you specific questions that I hope God will use to bring to the forefront for us all, myself included, to look into my life to say, am I doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus? Or am I not? There's some areas I need to work on in my life. I'll finish with this. One writer says this, and then we'll pray together, okay? Anything besides God that we get our meaning from or put our hope in will, after an initial rush, will increasingly bore us. Only God is eternally interesting. Only God. The best life that the world offers is one that is fleeting. The monuments we build to ourselves will one day crumble. But the life that lasts and the life that produces joy is the life that is lost for the sake of Jesus and His gospel. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Will you stand with me and pray? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. I pray that you will take this verse, this one verse, that we are to do everything in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you will just press it into our hearts and minds today. And in this week, and so you continue to teach us what this means. You teach us, God. You show us. May we not be able to get away from it. This is life in Christ. This is how we live in Christ. What it means to be in Christ. So just bring clarity to this, God, I pray, and just even greater revelation from the truth of your scriptures. Thank you for Grace Point. Thank you for these people. I believe I have a heart for you, God. We want to know you in greater ways. We want to lose our life, God, for your sake, so we can find it. I pray that for us. Use us, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.